I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina, and I have got a debate for us.
Uh-oh.
So,
okay.
This X or Twitter or tweet, I don't know what the fuck you're supposed to call that.
We don't call it X. I refuse. No.
Not
Twitter.
In this house.
It's Twitter. Not in this house.
Okay.
Not in my house.
So anyways, it went viral and people are very, very divided about it. And I wanted to get you guys' take on it. Okay. So someone got this message on Hinge. They had matched and they had plans to meet up. And then the day of their meetup happened and this person's match sent them this message. Hey, thanks for checking in. Would you mind if we put a pin in those plans for now? Full transparency, I kind of met somebody yesterday that I wasn't expecting to vibe with as much as I did, and I'd feel a bit weird going out right away with someone else. So people are very divided on, there's a lot of people saying this is super fucking rude. I actually think this is like the greenest of flags.
I do too.
I don't think it's rude now, like at all. Like that's the way that they feel and they're being honest about it. And, you know, they don't want to go on a date with someone else when they feel like maybe they're developing feelings for somebody. Like, I think that's all totally fine. The person on the receiving end of the message then has to kind of decide if you even want to. For me, the only thing that would be questionable is the let's put a pin in this kind of thing. Like maybe I'll ask you out again later kind of thing, because I'd be like, I'm not trying to be anybody's second choice. You've talked to me. You've talked to this other person. You like this other person more. Go with God.
Yeah.
But you don't need to come back later if it doesn't work out. You know, like that's fine. Like I'll move on as well. Like, peace be with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
him being honest about like what his feelings are, I don't have any issues with that at all.
I actually like it a lot, because like for me, if you're on a dating app and you're matching and you're going and meeting with people, the assumption is that we're all doing that, right? Like we're all matching and meeting with
multiple
people.
Nobody's trying to pretend that they're not.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, I would actually really appreciate receiving that message. Like, knowing that someone is being honest, because it is weird sometimes if you have this like really great chemistry on a date that you went on Thursday to then turn around and go out with somebody else on a Friday. It's not for everybody. Yeah. Like for me, I tend to lean towards, if I feel sparks with somebody, I tend to then I'm like, well, let's where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's figure this shit out over here.
Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said it best. He said, you know, he's just telling her how he feels. He's like, I feel disrespectful to this new thing that I wasn't expecting to go on a date with you. It'll feel unfair, I think, that probably to both of them.
Yeah. And all of that,
unfair to the person.
I'm down. Yeah. I like all of that. I think that all of that is like actually really respectful. Like saying that it's rude, I don't think that that is rude at all. Like, for me though, that only thing that I could think of is just like, I don't want to be your, like, I wouldn't like it. It wouldn't make me feel good to have you come back in my DMs a week later and be like, turns out it didn't work out with that girl. Do you want to go on a date? I'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't really.
There were a lot of people who were like, okay, now we're over communicating. Like you didn't need to give that person that much information. Cause the person that received the message said that a lot of things bothered him about it. The HR professional tone, the fact that he was canceling a date that he had proposed, that he let me know he hit it off with someone else he just met, that he implied a future date if things didn't work out with this new guy.
First of all, I'm sorry that I just assumed heteronormality here, because I shouldn't have just assumed that. But secondly, like that is kind of what it is. I don't have a problem at all with this guy saying like, hey, I love the transparency. I would 100% rather you be fucking transparent with me. I don't even mind that the tone is a little formal. It's like, we don't know each other like that. Like, I don't care.
Exactly.
Like, if you're being a little formal with me. But I do, him saying that part of his issue is that he feels like he's going to become like you're going to come back around to me, is that would be where I would have a problem with that. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but that's fine. There are other people out there. Then like this just wasn't meant to work out, and that's fine.
Right. Yeah. At least you figure out from the jump that, you know, you prefer one type of communication style. I actually like it when people are very direct and honest like that. Like I like it, but it's obviously not his preference. He would have preferred somebody be a little bit more sympathetic and not, you know.
And that's why they don't belong together. There you go. So there you go and move on.
But if I was the person that this guy is talking about that he did go on a really great date with, and I felt sparks too, and like we're both connecting, like, yeah, it would make me feel good to know that like it's reciprocated, that like they're in the way that I'm in. It wouldn't feel good to me to go on a, and I know that this is, it's all dating. It's not exclusive. You don't owe anybody anything, whatever, whatever. But it's like, if you had a great night with someone and then you found out that they went out on another date the next day, like that would be a bummer. So like, I like that. I like that he's being honest about that, and you know, that's good.
Honoring his feelings.
Eric still teases me because after we had met, I did.
I remember this. I know this score.
I did have a date for that following Wednesday. That I did go and meet that person or whatever.
Well, you were trying to play it super cool. I remember that. I remember that.
I totally
that time
remember that.
Where you were like, I don't need you.
Like, actually, I just so you know,
just
I'm
so
dating
you know,
around.
I have options, bitch.
Yeah, I sure did.
But like deep you down sure inside, did. You were like,
I know.
You're like a softie, like deep down in your heart.
I know. To that person who I met on that Wednesday in December many years ago now, apologies. I did not give you my full attention. And I should have probably canceled that date.
I also feel like you weren't necessarily being 100% honest with yourself at that point either. Yep. Like, I don't think
truly
you were trying to be like shitty at all. Like, I think that you were just like, didn't,
play cool,
even though you had
cool,
all these
cool
feelings for Eric, I think you were also, totally like, be cool. Well, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to keep my options open.
kind of, you know, kind what's of funny? Christina, you just said something that I had a conversation about just last night, and it's that you said, I apologize. And it's so funny. I said that, so my new friend that I met here in Germany is from the Midwest, and that's kind of like how we became like met, because she was like, oh my god, somebody from the Midwest. And I was like, great, somebody who knows our opes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you understand the culture.
The culture, exactly. Yeah. If we can call it that. But we were saying, I was saying, you know, we use sorry so much that when we're really sorry about something, we actually have to say, I apologize.
Yep. Yes, you're absolutely right. You're 100% right.
Sorry.
If you are really apologizing for something, you are saying like, I apologize for this thing. Otherwise the sorry doesn't carry as much weight. It's like,
sorry.
You are sorry, but we are sorry about fucking everything.
Yep.
I'm sorry that I like brushed up against you as I tried to walk past you.
Oh,
like,
sorry.
I'm sorry about everything.
Sorry. Oops, sorry.
Oh my god.
You know, I saw a stand-up bit. I think it was like Dan Soder or something, but he was saying that he's such a people pleaser. He's like, in America, and this is dark, of course, but like in America, like we're all afraid of mass shootings, but he's afraid of like being the person who lets the person into the building, because like all it would take is, and I'm the same way, like all it would take is like the guy on the other side of the door being like, hey, I can't get in, can you, and I'd be like, oh yeah, of course, so sorry, like let me just open this door for you, let me hold the door fucking open for you while you walk in.
And
that would absolutely
would be me,
be me.
Yep,
sorry,
I'm sure they just
sorry
forgot their key.
Oh,
would be me.
My god, yeah. So yeah, I'm glad we're all on the same page, pretty much. Yeah, I would have appreciated that message, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Keegan,
me too.
The tagline be like, "Can we put a pin in this?"
Is
definitely like,
I would rather
corporate.
Yeah,
speak.
I'd rather you just say, "Can we just cancel the date?" Like, I would rather just that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's enough. And then if it comes back around later on, if we're both single later on, and it comes back around, that's something. But don't imply that I'm going to be sloppy seconds. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I'm like, I don't care. If you texted me and you were like, hey, I need to cancel, you know, I'm kind of involved in something else that I want to explore, and it wouldn't be fair to you or this other person for us to go out. So, you know, I'd like to cancel tonight. Fine with me. I would respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of corporate speak, too. I did see somewhere, I didn't dive in because this is my absolute literal nightmare, that people are turning to LinkedIn as a dating site. It gives me
fucked. No,
so much ick. LinkedIn.
I spend as little amount of time on LinkedIn as I possibly humanly can. I think that it does. LinkedIn in general gives me the ick.
So
it's the ickiest of social media platforms. I hate it.
Wait. Okay. This is our fuck, marry, kill. What platform not meant for dating?
Oh, God.
Facebook. Fucking Facebook. Yes. Remember Facebook dating? Stop it.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary.
Yep.
Snapchat.
Yeah.
So many people are using Snapchat.
Snapchat is the fuckboy of the dating apps. Let's be real. The social media apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with LinkedIn then because there's something there.
Oh,
for
my
you,
God.
Cassie, I'm worried about you.
You said Facebook, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You got Facebook,
right.
Facebook, Snapchat, and LinkedIn.
Oh, I'm going to throw up. Oh, these are fucking
poison.
Disgusting options.
Thoughts and poison. Prayers, Keegan, specifically to you, Googling exactly what you need to Google in order to do the Instagram post. Like,
oh, God.
Who is the personification of LinkedIn?
Disgusting. I mean, he's a
corporate. He's definitely a khaki. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Khakis.
Like, yeah.
Yackies,
he's gonna mansplain to you. I fucking don't like this. Like, but Snapchat is gonna give you a venereal disease, like
for sure.
That Snapchat spreads it around. Snapchat gets around. You can't
Snapchat's
fix him.
Snapchat's the Mountain Dew.
I also am just like very wary. I'm like, you know, with those disappearing chat, I'm like, you're up to shady stuff. Not just like
shady
cheating. Mm-hmm. I'm saying like shady, like. Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Snapchat had its moment. People apparently still use it, but as soon as Instagram introduced stories, I was like, we don't need this anymore.
No, no.
You know, I use Snapchat for all of 5 seconds. You know. But yeah, I'm sus on Snapchat. I also do feel like I would be a total cougar on Snapchat. I think like
it's kids. It's all kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
It's all
Gen Z. Fucking red flag it would be to meet a man in his 40s that has a Snapchat account. For me,
we're done. No, mm-hmm.
That is the reddest of flags for me. Yeah.
Who are you trying to find on there?
I'll bet you fucking anything Sandoval has a Snapchat account.
Oh, you're so gross.
I wish I could look, but I don't have a Sandoval account.
Disgusting. I heard that both of the Toms are dating girls in their early 20s, and I'm like, that sounds right, but is fucking so gross. Like, guys.
So sad.
At a certain point, I was just having this conversation. Like, listen, I think, and we've talked about age gaps before, and I absolutely think it's possible that someone in their 40s and someone in their 20s could meet, and just like, that's... They vibe, and you know, I think that can happen. I think there's a certain type of person, and like Sandoval is one with his white nail polish. He is one kind of guy who, like, you don't look cool, you look sad.
Like, who is somebody
you look
you
like
look
you're
like
trying
you're
too
trying
fucking hard?
So
yes.
Hard.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I was gonna say, who is old that is still cool? Who's a good example?
Lenny Kravitz.
There you go.
Who?
Somehow Lenny Kravitz still gets away with wearing those mesh shirts, and he shouldn't. And he shouldn't. Because a man his age should not be allowed to wear mesh t-shirts and get away with that. But somehow it's working for me. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
right. It just feels
right.
Authentic on him versus being a costume on Tom Sandoval.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's like Tom Sandoval looks like he's trying so fucking hard. And Lenny Kravitz is just like, he's been Lenny Kravitz for ever.
Mm-hmm. He's been Lenny Kravitzing his whole life.
Mm-hmm,
he
right.
has a natural casualness that is so like.
It's so
attractive.
Cool. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It just
some
has,
people are just naturally
so
cool. Yeah. Like it's an effortless cool. But yeah, so Snapchat is the Sandoval of the social media world.
LinkedIn is not much better, man. You get
no LinkedIn
that corporate
is tech speed. Bros, corporate bros. I fucking Cassie's like, I'm into it. Give me the khakis.
I'm gonna fucking marry. Are you kidding me? I'm gonna marry the fuck.
Well, the options
out of
are bad. The options are bad.
Yeah.
Like so. Yeah. I mean, what are we gonna do here?
Yeah.
Oh god.
I'm gonna fucking marry. I'm gonna marry LinkedIn because at least he's got a fucking job.
It's true.
He does have a job and he does care about his future. Mm-hmm. Probably
he
too
cares
much.
About his,
probably an annoying
it's
amount.
Fine though.
But at least
you know what?
That's that. Yeah.
I want to fuck Snapchat just because I know it'll be there and gone. Just it's there.
That's
and gone.
Exactly right.
But it does
Snapchat's
going to
ghost
concerned.
You and you're going to be grateful for it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally are a ghost and that's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Facebook would definitely over message you. Facebook would be super, super clingy.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Facebook hasn't, you know, when I think about Facebook, like in terms of like dating or fucking Facebook, like, the thing that comes to mind is that like that boomer man with the really up close low angle profile picture, you know, it's low light. It looks like vaguely blue
awful.
For some reason. You're like, what is happening? Like, and they message you like, hi, sweetheart or whatever.
Yes. And with like little rose emojis and stuff.
Oh, fucking gross.
Dude.
Just,
oh my God. I
got to get out of here.
All that I can think of now with Facebook is how fucking hysterical my local community Facebook group is. Mm-hmm. It's just full of messages like every single day.
But you don't want to fuck that.
It's like, is the dump open? And then like, just like every day, I'm like, can you check the hours? Why are you posting about this in the Facebook group?
That is the thing about Facebook. See, you can't marry Facebook because the weaponized incompetence you're going to get from Facebook.
Yes.
Because the way that people cannot on that app Google a single fucking thing for themselves.
No.
Like they do that shit where they just like ask questions that I'm like, you could solve this problem yourself.
Yes. So much.
You can't marry that. You're going to be so frustrated.
And it's just filled with junk too. Everyone's always trying to be like, you know, $90 couch and it's like, looks like it was like went through Mad Max or something. I'm like, connect with the person that was asking if the dump is open. Two birds, one
it's
stone.
It's also too fucking random. like Facebook has grown. It's been around for a long time. It's starting to eat itself. I feel like Facebook, there's too much happening on there because you can really get anything you want. There's a group for everything.
Yeah.
It's now randomly showing you like articles about shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's
so
and then
many
you also have your weird
ads.
Fucking yeah, there's so many ads and then you have like your
plot.
Weird family members and everyone you went to high school with and everybody has different opinions and there's a lot coming at you on Facebook that I'm like I'm overwhelmed. I'm overstimulated.
Yeah.
Because I have gotten back on there occasionally for my nonprofit work. So I have seen it in recent years because before that I was blissfully off.
Yeah.
It's, of Facebook entirely, you know.
It's
only for our group.
Only for our group. Yeah, cuz I was going to say like it really is giving the same energy that MySpace was giving when we were all like this is garbage. We're getting off of this, right? And then we all migrated.
When it was starting to fall apart in the last day, in
the
last dying breaths of MySpace because MySpace had a glorious moment in time.
Oh.
Absolutely. That I feel like cannot
be
replicated. We were all coding. I feel like every social media app that came after MySpace was an imitation of what MySpace was because like they're, but I try to explain this to people because people who I feel like an old lady talking about like the olden times, but I'm like, you don't understand unless you lived it. We publicly ranked our friends.
Yep.
And the ranking changed. Mm-hmm. And I paid attention to that
oh,
shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, like absolutely.
If you went from being someone's like number one in their top eight, and then eventually you could code it to be like top 16, top whatever. Like if you were someone's number one and then they got a boyfriend and all of a sudden you're like number two on the top eight, that was grounds for like an actual fucking fight.
Yep. Yep.
So. Man,
but see, that's the thing is like that was our trauma from social media as like teens. I'd trade that any day over what fucking hellscape.
100%
social media has to be for teens.
Innocent by comparison.
Yeah.
Innocent by comparison. 100%. I agree. Wow. What a beautiful time MySpace was.
Monster I would have been with that bold glamour filter as a child.
Oh.
Girl, listen, Jesus. I look back on some of my like early 20s pictures on Instagram whenever like Facetune was starting to be a thing and but no one knew how to do it in like a subtle way. And I'm just like, girl, why the fuck?
Where is your nose?
You have pictures that I'm like, no one will notice. No one will notice. Everyone knew. Everyone knew.
Knows.
They had to know. I archived. I went back into my Instagram and saw some of those pictures. I archived that bitch. Like, I was like, no one needs to see this. No one needs to know that I did this.
I've told this story before, but I have had a girlfriend that I used to work with, and she would always, any pictures we would take together, it would just be like, we would just be a blur of skin.
Lord, the apps have gotten so much better. They are so much more subtle now, but like back in the day, and what was the worst thing is if you faced, or like not you, but like if you had a friend who would take group pictures and then they would only Facetune themselves and then not Facetune like anybody else. And it's like, it is so... First of all, it's rude as fuck. Like, if you're going to snatch yourself, you better snatch me too. First thing.
Right.
First.
Are we even friends?
Secondly, it is... right? You are no longer in my top eight. Secondly, like, it's so fucking obvious if you look like bold, glamour, flawless, and everybody else in your picture looks like a troll that is drunk at 2 a.m.
Looks
like,
normal.
Stop it.
Looks normal.
Looks normal. I should say that. Yes. Looks normal. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But it's like, we know. We know. See it.
We see it. It's so... Ooh. Oh my God. It's hilarious. Goodness.
So we've all killed Facebook, right?
I mean, I think we have to. I think, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't marry or fuck Facebook. But
I don't think I can either.
I can't.
What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to fuck Snapchat after approximately 5 tequila shots. That feels appropriate. That feels like the right amount for that interaction. And then again, like you said, it's a ghost situation. I never have to fucking see this person again. Yeah. Like, I am going to do that. Snapchat is just
also 21.
Oh, Lord. He's a DJ.
Oh, like, no. Oh, no. Exactly.
You know he is.
My nightmare. Yeah,
definitely my DJ. Nightmare.
I don't want to marry LinkedIn. I feel like I'm marrying LinkedIn against my will because it's like the only fucking option, really. Like,
I'm just saying.
Unless. Okay. Here's the other option.
Okay.
You take the tequila shots. And then you get married to Snapchat drunk in Vegas. Like, that's the option. Like, you can only marry Snapchat if you're getting married by an Elvis impersonator.
Okay. Now what are you going to do with this 21-year-old?
Ugh.
Divorce him.
Yeah.
Later.
Annul. Annulment. Even better.
It's a Britney Spears situation. Yes. 72 hours. In and out. You know what I mean?
Listen, if I'm going to divorce one of these guys,
true.
It's going to be true. LinkedIn. I true. Want that money.
Alimony.
True. Yep. No, You're not wrong. Yeah, I guess that's what I have to do. Because even if I married Snapchat, I don't really want to fuck LinkedIn. That's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be boring
exactly
as fuck.
Right.
No.
Unless he's like a Christian Grey and there's some secrets going on. I'm not interested in fucking LinkedIn. LinkedIn wears loafers, you know,
I will actually share a TikTok for you ladies when we go on break. There is a guy that is totally LinkedIn. There's like a woman who has a TikTok account that's like thirsting for her coworker. And doing surreptitious, and he is hot.
Baby. Also, babe, you cannot get on Beyonce's internet and post videos of your coworker.
What? Thirst trapping her coworker.
Honey.
Against his will?
Well, he knows about it now and thinks it's funny or whatever because she's been doing it for a while. But, I mean, he is a hot coworker, and he's totally, like, in my head. I'm like, he's LinkedIn. I'm like... I could do that. I think
it's just like the people I know who are really I should be more specific. The guys I know who are really into LinkedIn are not guys I would be interested in fucking at all. Like they're very they're too look, and I like my job.
You guys, ladies, I feel like we're evading the topic here, and that is, what are you gonna do?
Well, I have to marry LinkedIn, but I mean, I don't like it. I'm not fucking happy about it because, like, I just, anyone who likes their corporate job that much is sus to me. Like, I'm just like, look,
agreed.
You do what you got to do, and like, you can enjoy your job or whatever. But if you are one of those people who is constantly, and I'm probably like, I'm so sorry if this is you. I still love you if you're a listener. But like, if you are constantly on LinkedIn, like updating it and like sending little messages and posting to the bulletin board and like all of that stuff on LinkedIn, I'm like, who likes their job? I do not dream of labor. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I'd rather be on a beach somewhere. I'm not trying to like be on LinkedIn.
It really is combining like, two things that I don't like. Which is capitalism and social media. It's like
legitimately.
But given our options here, and
we have no choice.
The choices, we again, yes, I am going to marry LinkedIn as well, and
gotta
just hope they're freaking the sheets and they're just playing the LinkedIn game, because we all have to play the game.
Agree. And if it works and they work up that corporate ladder and they can like take me to the south of France on vacation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
then
all right. Yeah. I guess it'll be fine. Like I can.
Me and khakis is going to south of France.
Yeah, you can wear your loafers while we walk around the Louvre. That's fine.
They're it's Italian not in the south of France, loafers. But. Come on.
You're right. You spent too much money on loafers that looked like you could have got them at DSW, but it's fine.
Yeah, and then I'm fucking Snapchat.
Yeah.
And it's it's not very exciting. It's not going to be very good. I have a feeling
it's going to feel exciting.
Kitty.
You're going to meet at the wherever, you know what I mean? Drunk.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that like, it's going to feel exciting at the moment. And then you're going to wake up. It's like that episode of Sex and the City where she wakes up in that 20 something's apartment.
Yes.
And she's just like, this was not what I thought it was when we hooked up last night. That's what it's going to feel like with Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to wake up on dirty sheets with no toilet paper.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
But luckily he'll never call you again, so don't worry about it.
You don't have to worry about him sticking around. He has commitment issues for sure. So
exactly. Jesus.
Well, you guys wanna take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yes.
And it sounds good.
And we're back. All right. I have the tainted love this week, so I will kick us off with stories. This is a high school story. Always a good time.
Mm. So awkward.
It's so awkward. And this really, I feel like as people who watched 90s rom-coms, this will resonate. I took a girl to prom that liked me a lot. Afterwards, we started to make out and ended up having sex. When we finished, she asked if...
Cassie's like
mistake.
also,
I'm like,
is there a bet involved?
Been there.
Because if it's the 90s,
oh no,
probably they're leaving that part of the story out.
Yeah,
She took her glasses off,
and he's like, "Wow, you're so beautiful." There she goes, starts playing. Okay,
exactly.
When we finish, she asked if that meant I was her boyfriend now. So high school. Oh. They had sex once.
Yeah.
You're my boyfriend now. I was blindsided by the question and said yes because I didn't want to hurt her feelings.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you took her to prom.
High school.
You had sex.
It's very...
Yeah.
It's a very intimate at that age.
Yeah, that's a
huge deal. I probably would have.
It's a big deal.
It would have been a big deal for me for sure. Like if it was some guy I liked a lot, he said yes to taking me to the prom and then we had sex afterwards, I would be like, yeah.
We're married,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A couple of days later, I was talking to a friend about how I had sex with her and how I felt too bad to turn her down after having sex.
Whoa.
This is such a teenage boy mistake.
No.
Wow.
So many lessons learned on both sides.
So
you know what I mean?
Like, mm-hmm.
Like,
Yes. Well, a girl that was really good friends with her that I didn't know about was sitting in front of me and heard me talking about everything. And you know, high school girls, she ran to her friend right fucking away. You know she did. Later that day, she found out from her friend, yelled at me for a while, and broke up with me. I felt so bad about it because I knew I hurt her feelings, so I figured after homeroom the next day, I'd apologize to her. The next day, I'm in homeroom, in the band room full of 80 people talking to friends and watching the morning announcements. I'm not really paying attention, and the whole room started to get quiet and starts turning and looking at me. This girl had made a shout out on the school announcements that was 3 minutes of saying how I was a terrible person, a dog, and what goes around comes around.
How do they let you do that?
She's like, let me have the mic for a minute.
Wow.
This one goes out to Bryce. Bryce, fuck you.
I was speechless, and so were the other 80 people in the room. This just makes me feel like so 90s, because do you remember in She's All That when Usher it does the morning announcements, and I'm like, what school do you go to? Because Usher is like talking about how Freddie Prinze Jr. and his cool girlfriend broke up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why is the morning announcements just like gossip? Like, right. It's just like the National Enquirer.
Do you know, I actually had a weird memory the other day. Our high school announcements, they were like TV things, and it was like a news channel that was hosted by Lisa Ling.
Oh yeah, we had Channel One.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have something that? Like that too? But it wasn't Lisa Ling.
Wow.
Oh, we had Lisa Ling. It was Channel One. And it was like every morning Channel One, and it was like news of the world. It was actually really cool. I remember that.
I know. Isn't that so weird? But I was like, that was our like morning announcement kind of thing.
Yeah, we had something like that in middle school, and I remember because they actually made
something like that in middle school, because I'm so much younger than you guys.
I'm sorry. but I remember that like they announced when Aaliyah died, like in the like thing, like they had a whole thing where they talked about it.
Wow.
Because it was just like, you know, they wanted to keep us abreast of what was happening in the world, I guess. I don't know. But can you fucking imagine this situation where the whole school is hearing you get called out for being a piece of shit? I kind of love it. I'm not gonna lie. I love it for her. She felt like she got fucked.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yes.
And she got you got fucked revenge. Right back. She did get fucked, actually.
Yep. Actions have consequences.
That's right. That's right.
Literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm. Every class I went to, people kept asking me what I did and I just said nothing and kept my mouth shut. Even the teachers got on my case. I would have loved to have been a teacher that day. Mm-hmm. When you get to just be like, what did you do?
Well, dude, if you, drama, there's got to be nowhere better to work than at a high school because the high school teacher's lounge.
They got to be talking so much shit in that teacher's lounge. Oh my God.
If you teach high school, you need to write in some of the dirt, the tea, the chisme, all of the things.
Not just with the students, but you know that shady shit goes down between teachers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to know everything. For sure.
There's got to be a lot of shitting where you eat with teachers.
For sure.
Trauma bonding.
For sure.
Even the teachers got on my case, not to mention my mother was a teacher at the school and I had to explain what happened.
Oh, I fucked
so many rumors were spreading about what I had done. I love that she kept it vague too. I love that she was just like, Bryce, you're a dirty dog piece of shit, and didn't like get into details, because then that just lets a high school, the rumor mill is going bananas.
Oh my God. If you let high schoolers make up a story, it is like,
they're making up the worst shit.
The worst shit.
Yeah. You could have possibly done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that could be worse than this, junior high.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ruthless. Junior high students are fucking ruthless. I finally called that night and apologized for what I did, and she did too. She asked if I'd like to work things out, and I politely declined. There's no way I'm going through anything like that again.
Hey, lessons were learned that day, mm-hmm. man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Grew up.
Clear, honest communication. Your actions have consequences.
Yep.
The end.
Bryce, you didn't do that again, did you?
Yep. Well, here's hoping. Okay. This one's kind of a roller coaster. To set the scene, I was 20 years old, living with roommates and using Tinder to find people to casually date to distract me from thinking about the person I was actually in love with at the time, who wasn't looking for a relationship. That's 20s for you in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I matched with a young man who appeared to be, by all accounts, a relatively normal dude. Granted, he was an aspiring stand-up comic.
Oh no.
And the highlights of his profile were pictures of him performing at open mic nights at a local burrito restaurant.
Oh no. Listen, you know how much I love burritos. And I truly do. I love burritos so much. And I actually enjoy comedy. I enjoy good comedy. But there is nothing sadder
open
than thinking about
mic night.
Eating
a burrito,
shoving a burrito into my mouth under like warm lighting while somebody does stand up.
Trying to do a tight five. Oh my God.
I fucking hate this.
I want to crawl
so
out of my skin.
Fuck.
Like, what if I make eye contact with them while they're on stage while I'm eating a burrito? Oh. Like,
but even worse, what if that's your man? What if that's your man?
You just have to stand by them.
That's your man. You got to stand by. Are you going to stand by
that?
If this was
your man. What if this was a Vanderpump Rules situation and you found out that your man was fucking someone else at the burrito restaurant while he's on stage?
Oh, God.
Doing comedy.
No,
you'd have
cut
to rethink
your
whole fucking life.
Yeah, you really would.
Yeah.
However, I wasn't looking for marriage and we had a bit of fun back and forth messaging over Tinder. So I thought, what the hell? Let's share some dumb jokes together. He came to pick me up. The vibe is immediately poor. There was an obvious lack of attraction that I instantly knew what I wasn't going to be able to overcome. But I was trying to give it a shot because I didn't want to write someone off on a first impression. Now, I'm not usually one to judge someone by their vehicle. I got in and at first I'm like, okay, this is fine. There were tons.
This is fine.
There were tons of some kind of tape decorating the inside of the car and under the windows and across the
decorating
dash.
Feels generous. Was it?
Yeah. Is it duct
a
tape?
Decoration?
No. It had a kind of pattern, but like it was like cartoon characters on it were the general vibe. So he has cartoon character tape all over the inside of his car. Unfortunately, I hadn't seen which cartoon it was, so I couldn't strike up conversation about that. But after he started the car, neither of us were going to be able to make any conversation at all because his engine was screeching along at a nearly painful volume the entire drive. Like, we arrive at last and I exit the vehicle with roaring tinnitus. I was in a daze. We stepped into the restaurant and I said, let's sit here, pointing to my regular booth. I prefer the back, he said. It's more intimate.
Oh, listen, you can only use intimate with somebody, like the word intimate, if it's like very mutual and things are like hot and heavy.
I've been married almost 20 years and I don't want my husband to say the word intimate for some reason. I don't know what.
You
so
don't
gross,
want this guy, yeah, using the word intimate on a first day. It's like the phrase making love
panties.
Where I'm just like, no, please don't do it.
No.
We step to the back and I slip into the booth, expecting him to sit across from me. He doesn't.
Oh, no, do not sit. God damn it.
He slips him right next to me. We order and I literally got mozzarella sticks. He had offered to pay and I didn't want him saying I owed him anything that I couldn't repay by simply slipping down a $20 bill. While we waited for the food, he pulled out his phone to show me something and it opened to our text conversation. This mother trucker had put me in his phone as love of my life with two heart emojis.
Oh, why? That's horrific.
He absolutely was hoping I could see it. He dwelled in the conversation for longer than necessary. And again, he's sitting right next to me in this booth.
This man's stand-up comedy routine sucks.
Yeah,
I can tell, right already. Now. Like, yeah, I'm like
100%.
Everything 100%. About this, I'm like, no.
100%.
Because he thinks that that's clever or cute or something.
Thomas, you're going to have to bleep this out, but it's giving...
I don't even know who that is.
Who is that?
Yes, you do. He's our fucking...
Oh, I know. Yes.
You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm panicking at this point. I've spoken to this man maybe twice over text message, and we have been in each other's presence for the 20 most awkward minutes of my life, and I was saved in his phone as love of his life.
Look, this is when one of those times when it's acceptable to be like, I need to use the restroom.
And get GTFO.
And not come back.
Yeah. You seriously. Yeah.
Oh, goodbye. I'm going to go find a parking spot.
Horrible.
On my phone, I was begging my friends to come and get me while angling my phone intentionally to evade his attempts at reading my texts. Nobody was available. He chatters idly at me for a while, then tells me he's really liking this ice queen personality I got going on.
Oh.
Did you think I'm doing it to draw you to me like a moth to a flame? Like, that's not what's happening right now. I'm so turned off that I'm icing you out.
Literally trying to get you to be not interested in me. He suggested we talk about our worst dates as an icebreaker. He told me about a story where he took a girl on a date and stole the hat she was wearing and threw it down an escalator to the floor and was surprised when she got pissed and left the date. He looked at me.
Yeah, he's terrible at comedy.
Yeah.
Like, his instincts are all wrong.
Yeah.
All wrong.
He looked at me expectantly and says, "Now you go." I was speechless. I'm a shitty liar in the best of times, and I had no dates in my past that came even close to the experience I was having at that moment. He sheepishly smiles and asks, "It's this one, isn't it?"
Oh, no.
A self-aware king. We have to stand it.
Yup.
I told him I have to leave at 10 p.m., which was about half an hour away. He goes, "I was thinking we could keep hanging out." It was a statement, not a question. I messaged the dude that I was hung up over and begged him to get me the fuck out of there. I was across town from my house at night, and if this didn't work, I was walking home alone. I was not about to let this guy invite himself into my apartment. The other guy messaged back saying he'd be there in 20 minutes. Oh, your knight in shining armor. That makes you love him even more.
And you've been married for 5 years now.
I hope. I suggested we go on a walk since I realized I was going to have to make a quick getaway. He agreed. As we were walking in the night, we pass an office building with a young woman inside cleaning the floors alone. She was listening to music and was sweaty with her tank top pulled up to expose her midriff as she worked. He stops in his tracks and realizes she can't see us. And so he's just staring at her. So I start walking away.
Make your escape right fucking now, girl. Run.
Oh, no.
I got the text. I'm 2 blocks away. I start speed walking. By the grace of God,
straight up.
He was looking the other way and did not hear me. We ended up separated by a traffic light. My ride pulled up and I turned to look back. He had seen me and was standing there dumbstruck as I slipped into the car and shut the door.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Love this. I fucking love it.
It's so like, she's just like,
look, Kathy, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And like, had to get out of there. Like, that is so like, oh, like the fact that he's just like, oh, she can't see us. I want to
you're on a date.
Disgusting behavior no matter what, but you are on a date.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I hate this.
I got a text from him. "Thanks for coming out. I had a great time." I considered texting him back, explaining how creepy his behavior was and how uncomfortable he made me, but I went ahead with the block instead. To this day, I often wonder if I was being used as material for a stand-up routine. I wouldn't worry about that. It's just people in the burrito place. I think you're
fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, he's not going to have an HBO special anytime soon. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. I think you'll be okay.
You're safe.
No one will know.
I can tell he's a fucking terrible stand-up comic just by his behavior that night.
If I came to you guys in my big old dating and I was like, I really like this guy. Like he's really cool. Like I have a total crush on him. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, what does he do? And I told you guys with straight face that he's just,
you wouldn't.
I don't think you could waterboard information
Look,
out of
you. Of the three of us. And I'm not ashamed to like, it just is what it is. And I just need to accept it. Of the three of us, if one of us is in danger of dating a stand-up comic, it's probably me.
Like, yes.
Let's be fucking for real. Like, honestly, like, I mean, I'd be like, you don't know him. He's really creative. Like,
oh my God. No.
So, which is so wild. Cause you definitely wouldn't like Christina have dated somebody like that.
No, absolutely not. No, I know.
Yeah. No, you, no,
no,
no.
Yeah, I know.
Shake Cassie. Would just shake me. No. No, no.
Slap your hand away.
Slap my face. Step out of it. You're better than this.
I don't think any of us are really going
to
date.
To do what I used to do, and that is go look in the mirror and tell yourself that you are better than this, that you deserve more than this.
But you know what? Here's my issue with this. Because yes, on the surface, I agree with everything you're saying. However, like I enjoy watching.
There's nothing else.
I enjoy watching stand-up comedy. We've gone to stand-up shows together. And so it makes me feel
a
little bit
bar?
Like, no. Well, of course, I have standards. He'd have to be a good stand-up comic.
That's true.
But here's the thing. I feel a little bit like people who talk shit about like, if I patronize an activity, mm-hmm. I can't also degrade the people who provide me that service. I enjoy watching stand-up. I do.
I love stand-up. I love stand-up. I love stand-up comics.
But good stuff.
I think they're hilarious.
Good stand-up.
I agree. I'd be friends top level.
I'd be friends
with
them.
They are fucking everyone. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. They're like me. They're like musicians who were nerds in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you're absolutely
fucking
right.
A new audience member every night.
Yeah. Yes. You're not wrong. And there's so much cocaine involved.
Oh,
I'd have a good stand-up comic in Los Angeles. There's a lot of cocaine and a lot of booze happening.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And ladies. All right.
Anyway.
I'm going to go to my story now. All right. When I was 18, I went on a date with a mysterious girl. Mysterious because she never told me much about herself.
Mysterious. Ooh.
She just wanted a physical relationship, which I was happy to oblige. In retrospect, I was probably her side action, but I never really knew for sure. I honestly can't remember her name. Deborah? Let's call her Deborah.
So she's mysterious to the point where you don't even know her name. That's
so
a real mystery.
It's like, so a stranger comes up and is like, hey, you wanna get down? He's like, sure.
Get down,
Deborah.
Get down.
Sure, Deborah. I'm 18.
We ate takeout in my beater 1980 Pontiac Sunbird. Then we went to see a movie. Afterward.
You are definitely her side piece. She's like, we can't be seen in public together.
No,
but
you fuck
in the car.
But you fuck good.
Oh my God.
I suggested we drive around. This is Anchorage, Alaska during the winter.
Oh my God.
And it had been
dark since noon.
Yes. It recently snowed. And I didn't have studded tires. I also didn't have a driver's license or insurance.
Oh, all the follies of you.
I mean this with love. Get your shit together.
Get your fucking shit together.
Everything about this date, it's just like, I didn't know her name. I didn't know anything about her.
I
didn't take out in my car. Like, I don't have a license.
Went to a movie. Oh, God.
Oh, my.
on the surface streets, the main road, the Pontiac didn't slip around much, but I wanted to take her up to the hillside where a light's anchorage lay spread out like a carpet of diamonds. I thought we could sit and take in the view and make out. But along the way, I got lost. This was the 1980s, so Hillside was not well lit. It was mostly the territory of very rich people who considered streetlights to be light pollution. As it began to snow again, I took a wrong turn, followed a road that I thought would go through, and then we ended up beginning a harrowing odyssey through driving snow down a road that was slicker than snot, and my car skidding and fishtailing around.
Oh.
My fingers gripped the wheel, adrenaline pumping. We moved at a crawl. On one side was a fairly steep embankment with trees at the bottom. Every time I pressed the gas, we veered toward the edge. I was really worried we'd skid off and they wouldn't find our bodies until spring.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is terrifying.
Oh my God.
It was a tense drive. Deborah didn't say a word. It would be me. I'd be like,
yeah, just you can't distract
dead
him.
Silent.
You gotta like, no. Yeah, let him focus.
Yeah, just silently praying. Deborah didn't say a word, but I could tell she was scared, and I couldn't do much to reassure her. I had done a stupid, stupid thing. Eventually, I found my way back to the main road, and I dropped her off at her home. I kissed her goodnight and made a weak joke. She didn't laugh.
No.
It was not a fun day.
Deborah was fearing for her life and thinking this is how her husband was going to find out she was having an affair. It was just like her body was going to be found in this car with this man.
Yep. She's playing consequences right now. And
She's like, God,
she's like, we never need to speak again. No. Goodbye.
I'm going to be stuck in this side piece car, dead body.
Also, I have to say that like, so I've been in the car with Eric when we've been in like, you know, like driving rain, like really intense rain, like in Ohio or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like seeing him handle it or like be serious and like handle it and be
hot. Yeah.
So hot. So yeah, fishtailing and stuff all around, like almost falling off a cliff in Alaska would not be as hot. No.
Which I'm like, no. Also like
not nearly as hot.
Again, sir, I hope he reevaluated his whole life after that date. I hope he really took stock of what's going on. Because I'm like, you live in Alaska. Get your tires fixed.
Get a license.
That was my first thing. I'm like, you
get a license.
Thank you. Get a license. What is happening? What? You know what? Let's go driving around. That's not a no.
Like 90% of the date took place in his car.
Yes.
They're eating in his car. They're driving around in his car. Like,
yeah, you're definitely the side piece.
Yeah, because the only other place you went is like a dark movie theater. She's like, no. She's like, why are you wearing your glasses inside the movie theater? Why are you wearing your sunglasses? Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, all right.
Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with the tainted love?
Sounds good. And we're back.
Okay. I have the tainted love this week. This also came up. Man, I feel like if we could get sponsored by medium.com, that would be incredible because so many of our stories pop up. Like they give the most outrageous headlines wind up in my inbox where I'm just like, well, I got to click on that. I got to figure out what that is. You know what I mean? So that is how I initially heard about this case. And then I did a little bit of Googling and there's a really good Toronto Life article that of course will be linked on our website. I have a couple other sources as well, but from the information that I, you know, was able to kind of pull out, I think a lot of these other sources got a lot of their information from this Toronto Life article. So I want
Seems
to definitely
like the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's very similar the way that it's written. It feels like a Texas Monthly. You know,
ooh.
Like it's like a local, you know, deep dive. So I'm just going to jump right in. Brett Ryan grew up with his parents, Bill and Sue, and his three brothers in Scarborough, Ontario, in Toronto, Canada. His family seemed to be your average, happy, middle-class family. His father worked at the Toronto Star newspaper as a budget manager and taught fitness classes at the local community center. And his mother was a homemaker who loved gardening and baseball. So like she,
their
was
budget
a huge...
on health centers would be $8 million.
Yes, yeah, precisely.
Exactly.
But the mother was like so into, it was just like a little anecdote that I read that I didn't actually make a note of, but I thought was really cute when you're looking for like color about what these people were like whatever the baseball team is there in Toronto. She was a huge, huge fan. And
the Jays
sound right to me. Yeah. So when they won, she like went down the like street banging pots and pans. Like she was like a huge big baseball fan.
I love this. And
she loved gardening so much. Like she spent like 7 years creating this beautiful garden in their front yard, which I personally love. A lot of people put gardens in the backyard, but I love kind of like doing away with lawns and mm-hmm, having your front mm-hmm. yard just be this like beautiful garden. Brett described himself as an extrovert in a family full of introverts and saw himself as a bit of a black sheep. While his brothers, Chris, Leland, and AJ seemed to know what they wanted out of life, Brett floundered a little bit. He was really outgoing. He was charismatic. He was funny. I mean, I think we all knew this guy in high school who was just like, mm-hmm. everyone liked him. He was super popular, but he yeah. just kind of like was untethered, you know, didn't really care yeah. that much about school, kind of just was not grounded and a little directionless. So after high school, though he struggled academically in high school, he did attend the University of Toronto, but he dropped out shortly after enrollment because he couldn't keep his grades up. After leaving college, as his friends went on to lead successful careers, he found himself working odd jobs, most steadily as a house painter. By the time he was 26 in 2007, he was $60,000 in debt.
Ugh. That's a lot. Ooh, Jesus.
Yes. Living at home with his family and driving a beaten-up Dodge Dakota. Not exactly the life that he had envisioned for himself as someone in their mid-20s. So he decided to do what any well-adjusted mid-20s man would do. Now's the time to start robbing banks.
Nice.
So, yes.
The obvious Great. Conclusion.
Should I call Dylan?
Beep, 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 beep. Are you robbing banks?
Do not rob banks.
Mm-hmm. On October 20th, 2007, he robbed his first bank just 8 miles from his home. He wrapped his face in bandages and put his arm in a sling. At the counter, he handed the teller a note indicating that he was carrying a gun under the sling and demanding $2,000 or more. Wow, really shoot for the moon.
Wait. Oh, wait. Hey, lady, can you give me $2,000 or more?
You're at a bank.
Or more.
Or more, just whatever you feel like giving me. And even then, the teller handed over some cash to him, but he only received $1,115. So I'm like, you didn't even hit your $2,000 goal, my dude.
Yeah, now you're going to have to rob 59 more banks to get out of debt.
Over the next 8 months, he robbed another 12 banks around his neighborhood, including his home branch, which is bold as fuck.
Sir.
And ended up stealing a total of $28,000.
That's it for robbing 13 right. banks?
Well, he's only asking for $2,000.
You can get a fucking part-time job. You can be a Starbucks or barista.
Right? Because 8 months, or I'm like, more. That is almost a whole year. Like, that it is, yeah. Like, you might as well have just gotten another part-time job for real.
Truly.
After his initial bank heist, he decided to do away with the busted up arm and face act and chose to move on to something a little more professional. I can only imagine that he took some of that sweet $1,115 earnings from his first bank heist to purchase a high quality glue-on beard at a costume supplier. which he would use for the remainder of his robberies, earning him the name the Bearded Bandit in the media. He's just spirit gumming his face, you know?
Oh my God. And it's like thinking he like one Clark Kent, you know what I mean? It's just glasses. And I'm like, how's
they'll
no one
never
know?
Know now.
They'll never know. Mm-hmm. How will they know? Yes. They're not going to know where they know.
He did Fiddler on the Roof once in high school and it stuck with him. And he's like, I can do that.
Disguises. Master of disguise.
The fact that he got away with this for so long had less to do with him being a master criminal and more to do with the fact that he was a quote unquote upstanding citizen. He had no criminal record. He was actually a pretty sloppy criminal. He didn't wear gloves, so he left his fingerprints just like willy-nilly all over the fucking place. But because his prints weren't in the system,
right,
they weren't able to match it to anything. After one of Brett's heists, police spotted his truck on an external camera and tracked him to his home. By the time he entered his last bank, the police had been surveilling him for 2 weeks. And he must have known that something was happening because he walks into the bank to do his thing with his little beard on and like gets a bad vibe and you see him try and leave. But when he try and leaves the bank, police are waiting and they arrest him. He pleads guilty and he spends the next 7 months in custody awaiting trial. When sentencing came in January of 2009, friends and family wrote letters of support detailing how Brett volunteered at a sick kids hospital and refereed Little League games. And the judge in the case, Justice Paul Robertson, cited Brett's, quote, stellar background in his sentencing report, quote, he is a person who has integrity, who has given of himself to his community, who has given of himself to others, and is truly a productive member of society. You what? Are not a youth, he said, but you, in my view, are youthful. This man is almost 30. The shit that I swear to God, like,
wow,
what we let white men in particular get away with is absolutely fucking bananas. She's like, oh, you're just a baby. I'm like, this man is almost 30. Stop it.
Jesus Christ.
Honestly.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Jesus.
And determined, so the justice determines that his crimes, literally an 8-month crime spree, were, quote, completely out of character, and sentences him to 5 years, but with time served and early probation, he was back home with his family about a year and a half later in 2010. Once out of prison, Brett was no longer able to defer any of his debt payments and had to file for bankruptcy. He tried to go back to doing handyman work and house painting, but anyone who Googled his name could find his record, and most people are not going to let a known thief
right
come to their house and like into their house.
Yeah.
So by his 30th birthday, he was broke. He has a criminal record, a high school education, and no prospects, right? With the help of his family, Brett started seeing a therapist to deal with his depression. He re-enrolled in the University of Toronto and took the only job that he could get, which happened to be a pretty low-paying retail job. Though it wasn't where he wanted to be, he was kind of like making progress in his life. In September of 2011, a friend set Brett up on a blind date with Kristen Baxter. Kristen, on the other hand, was a serious catch. She was a physiotherapist who owned her own waterfront condo. She was athletic and enjoyed hiking and traveling. And the couple, who were both blonde-haired and blue-eyed, looked good together. You know, they you know, ideal kind of, they looked like a postcard. Kristen knew about Brett's criminal past, but, you know, quickly fell in love with him anyway. She believed that he was a changed man. You know, like, we all make mistakes. He's like a really good guy. After a little over a year of dating, Brett moved into Kristen's condo where he enjoyed her building's rooftop patio and indoor-outdoor pool. So he is really stepping it up from living at his parents' house to being in this like beautiful waterfront Toronto condo.
Listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be like a mismatch for the most part. Not everybody's going to bring the same things to the table in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Equity looks different for different people. So perhaps, you know, he is a changed person, and Kristen being a go-getter is out there being the breadwinner, and he's at home keeping it high and tight, you know, like doing all the cleaning.
I feel like he's not keeping it. That doesn't seem like this guy.
I completely agree with you, Cassie. I don't feel like that's what is happening. Because I don't want it. I don't want to come off as be like, this motherfucker doesn't even have a job. Like, fuck that. But
right. There's like, listen, there are, you just have to show me that like there is real true potential here and you are working towards something. Right. Because people get down on their luck, and I don't want to judge anybody by the worst moment that they're having, by their lowest point, because like you can believe that like they can come up in their life. I also don't want to say that just because someone made even a very large mistake that they are ever completely irredeemable. Like I think that you can be
robbed a few banks.
Well, just because they spent 8 months robbing banks.
there is a difference, because I was going to say someone makes a mistake. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's one thing. Yeah. But I'm like, for me, you know, I joke all the time about having played consequences as a kid. I'm like, so wait, you got in trouble. Somehow you got into $60,000 worth of debt. That to me already says you're not playing consequences. But then your best idea to get out of that would be to rob banks for a couple grand.
For low amounts of money in your neighborhood, too. I'm like, you went to your brother went to his home branch.
Yes.
Sir, like, come on now. No. Like, if you're going to be a criminal, at least need you to be like a smarter one.
Right. Right.
You know, but anyway, whatever. It's working for them. Their relationship. She seems happy. He's like living it up in the high rise condo at this point. So when Brett's father passed away about a year after moving in with Kristen, Brett returned home where his mother paid him. And I think he went back home and like stayed with her for a minute, didn't live with her full time, but like came back to make sure she was settled.
Is he the baby?
He is the third out of four.
Oh, okay.
So middle child technically, but the younger two of the four. So yeah, because it's like Chris, Leland, then Brett, and then AJ is the baby. So he goes home to like tend to his mom, but while he's there, there's a bunch of, you know, in any relationship you fall into patterns, and like one person does one thing, another person does another thing, takes responsibility for it. So when the father passes away, the mom has a bunch of like administrative work and stuff that she doesn't really know how to do. Like maybe he paid all the bills, did all the paperwork and
stuff. This is not the son that you choose to do this job.
But he needs
to say it.
He needs money. So she pays him to do a lot of like the administrative work that the dad used to do.
Oh no.
Right. And things around the house. So that need to be done because he is like a handyman. So things are breaking around the house and she's like, well, this is stuff I need done. And this is a way I can help my son out. So I'm going to pay him to do these things. Right. So at this point, even though he's getting paid by his mom to do these things, he's still living well above his means. I mean, he is with a woman who's shooting way above his weight class, right? So he wants to make sure she's happy. And so he's taking trips to tropical locations with Kristen. He's eventually proposing to her with an extravagant princess cut ring. He's slipping further and further into debt. And he's already filed for bankruptcy once.
What the fuck, dude?
He doesn't play consequences at all. Like,
no, nope.
Yeah.
That's the issue. In 2015, his grades start slipping, and so he drops out of University of Toronto again. But this time, he tells no one. He doesn't tell Kristen. He doesn't tell his mom or his brothers. And not
I have
long
a feeling this will go well.
And not long after that, he secures a decent job with a tech firm. That came along with a much needed salary because he's preparing for this wedding. So he's celebrating. He's like, I got this job with this tech firm. He takes Kristen and his family out to dinner to celebrate, only to learn quickly thereafter that during the background check, Brett's new employer learned of his history as the bearded bandit and quickly rescinds the offer. Mm. So he's like, you're not getting this job after all. Once again, Brett did not tell his fiance or his family and instead pretends every day to go to work and to school.
This is family annihilator stuff. They're not thinking through the consequences. They're fucking the pretending and stuff. I'm getting real annihilator vibes. So
chills.
At this point, his $100 a plate wedding is only a few months away. And Kristen is also determined that, like, after they get married, she wants to move out of the condo and into a house. And Toronto is not a cheap place to live either.
No.
So he's like, yes, honey, I'm with you. Like, I want to do that. So they hire a realtor to start looking at properties.
Oh, no.
Because she thinks he's got this great job. He's in school. Like, you know, she's like, if we can afford this.
He's pulling a Legion. Proof of funds.
Proof of funds. Yeah.
So Sue, his Brett's mother, she is proud of how far Brett has come. She has seen him at his lowest. He went to prison. So she's telling her neighbors how well Brett is doing, his achievements at university, his high paying job, his high rise condo in the city, his beautiful fiance. And so when he begins pressuring her for more paid odd jobs around the house and asking her to lend him more money, she just thought that it was financial stress from the wedding and like looking for a new house. Like, you know, she's like, oh, he just needs extra money for these big life changes that are coming up. The truth was, of course, that Brett's situation was becoming more and more dire. He was in massive amounts of debt and he had no idea how he was going to afford the life that he had promised Kristen. So with pressure mounting, he talks to his therapist and his therapist is like, you need to come clean to someone in your life. So he's like, okay, I'm going to come clean to my mother. So he tells his mother everything and he begs her for just like a little bit more financial help while he looks for a job. He's like, I know I need to get a job. If you can just like tide me over until I get a job. But Sue is not having it. She is appalled that he'd not only been lying to her and his brothers this whole time, but most of all that he was lying on such an incredible scale to this woman that he is about to marry in a few months. So she gives him an ultimatum. She's like, you need to tell Kristen the truth. And if you don't do that, then I will not provide you with any more financial help and I will tell her myself.
So you need to figure
your shit out, basically. So Brett starts to panic. The idea of coming clean to Kristen and potentially losing this dream life that he's always wanted seemed unthinkable to him. So instead of following his mother's advice and telling Kristen the truth, he came up with another plan to kill his mother. So the conditions of his sentencing may, and I'm going to just go ahead and say now, and I'll give some more content warnings as we move through, but like, it's terrible. I mean, of course it's terrible, but this whole thing, and I think that the planning too makes it like extra diabolical when you're talking about your mom, you know, especially.
Yeah. So,
the conditions of his sentencing made it impossible to buy a firearm because, you know, practical gun laws. So he settled on a crossbow, which doesn't require a license and can be purchased by anyone over the age of 18.
This person is so fucking stupid as well. Because he's buying a crossbow, and then if he's killing his mother with a crossbow, 2 + 2 = 4. It can't be that hard to figure out who's bought a crossbow recently.
Right. Well, he did, you know, at least he used the old noggin enough to buy the crossbow secondhand to try and avoid any potentially incriminating records of the purchase. So he didn't go and buy it like from Amazon. He found it secondhand somewhere. I don't know, Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or something. So in the days after his mother gives him this ultimatum, Brett continues to visit his mother's house to work on things at the house, the renovation projects that he's working on. And during one of these visits, he stashes the crossbow in the garage because there's all these renovations happening. So the garage is just full of stuff, you know, so he knows that he can just kind of hide it behind some, you know, planks of wood and no one will see it. So he leaves it there. Then on the morning of August 25th, 2016, after Kristen leaves the condo for work, Brett begins to set his plan into motion. And this next whole chunk is a copy paste because I could not get my brain wrapped around how he did all of this. So I just took it from that article. So first, he opens the laptop. He props it against the wall with 2 5-pound weights. Then he duct taped a wooden spoon to a black cylindrical oscillating fan and placed it so that the tip of the spoon lined up with the computer's enter key. He plugs a cord into a
mouse trap.
It's Home Alone type shit.
Oh my God.
He plugs the cord into a digital timer, like the kind used for Christmas lights. And when the timer activated, the fan would turn and the spoon would click the cursor hovering over the icon that would open YouTube. Next, he took 2 portable fans, also plugged into digital timers, and screwed them into a wooden board, which he placed on the granite countertop of a kitchen island. He taped styluses to the casings of the fan, and then Brett screwed a smartphone and a tablet to another wooden board so that the screens faced the fans. When the timer went off, the fans would turn and they would tap the phone and tablet into pre-typed messages. So one was thanking a friend for a real estate tip. The other was home repair. So basically he rigged these devices so that it would open YouTube while he was away and that it would send text messages while he was away and that it would continuously move the cursor of his laptop so that when he was killing his mom, his devices would link him to his house.
Like, that's so inventive. I would never have been able to figure out how to do that. And I'm like, why?
All this stuff you could be doing with that brain, bro.
Yeah.
Honestly.
100%.
Yes. Exactly. I feel the same way. I'm just like, if you put half of this brain power into like getting a fucking job, like,
oh my gosh.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
He then put on his handy dandy bank robber disguise, minus the beard, but all the same shit that he used to wear to rob banks. So a wig, sunglasses, a bucket hat, as well as 2 pairs of jeans, despite the summer heat. And he packed a gym bag with a few broadhead bolts for the crossbow. So in order for his alibi to work, he could not take his car or be seen on any of the building security cameras. They have to think that he's home the whole time. So he goes out the back stairwell to avoid cameras, and then he took a train that dropped him off near his parents' home. When he arrives, he removes the disguise and then goes into the house. He tries to reason. I hate the way that's phrased because I'm just like, she's not being unreasonable.
No.
But
right.
Right. Tries to, quote unquote, reason with his mother one last time, but she holds her ground. She's like, absolutely fucking not. You need to come clean to Kristen before you get married. So the argument starts to get heated. And as it gets heated, Sue gets on the phone with her oldest son, Chris, and is like, look, your brother is like off the rails. I need you to come handle him. Like, will you come over to the house and handle this? And Brett starts to realize that the situation is getting out of hand. It's not going the way that he planned. So he goes for the garage where the crossbow is, and he attempts to load the crossbow with one of the broadhead bolts. Sue follows him. And again, content warning for just the rest of the story. It's all pretty terrible. Sue follows him. And when she catches up with him, realizing that he can't get this thing loaded, like they're they're pretty complicated to load, I guess. And he cannot get this crossbow loaded. So he turns around with the bolt in his hand and stabs his mother through the cheek and then through the ear before wrestling her to the ground, where some hardwood flooring fell on top of her. Pinned by the flooring and bleeding from the face and head, he then took a piece of nylon rope and strangles his mother until she dies.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. How awful.
It's terrible.
How
I'm
awful,
so sorry.
Awful.
It gets worse. So knowing that his brother is on his way over, Brett went about loading the crossbow. He hides in the garage. And when his oldest brother, Chris, enters the garage, he sneaks up behind him and shoots him through the neck. And I don't need to go into the details of that. Regardless, Chris dies instantly.
No.
He then drags his brother's body. He stacks it on top of his mother's body and covers them both in a tarp. And he's trying to formulate a plan as to like what to do next. Like there's sawdust all over the garage floor. It's bloody now. It's all over his clothes. He's trying to figure out, okay, like what do I do now? How do I like get rid of this situation? And when that happens, like while he's trying to figure that out, unexpectedly, his youngest brother, AJ, comes over for a visit.
Oh,
just randomly
Jesus.
Was like, I'm going to come see
no.
mom. Was not planning on coming over.
Oh.
So knowing there was no way he would be able to get out of the house or explain the situation away, Brett met his brother AJ at the back door of the house with another crossbow bolt in his fist. The brothers wrestled to the ground and Brett eventually stabs AJ through the neck. So Brett had not known that his third and final brother had been upstairs taking a nap this whole time.
Oh my God.
No.
So his other brother, Leland, hears them fighting and looks out the window and can see them fighting outside. And so he runs downstairs to call 911. He sees AJ bleeding on the porch. And when he gets downstairs, Brett attacks him.
Oh,
there's
Jesus.
A fight that ensues. The brothers are fighting throughout the house. At one point, Brett is banging Leland's head against the wall and it starts bleeding. So there's a blood trail that investigators could follow later throughout the whole house. Like they're breaking side tables. There's like, you know, it's on the ceiling, it's on the walls and you know, all of that stuff. So as Leland and Brett fought inside, AJ, who was out on the back porch, manages to drag himself down the driveway toward the street. He made it as far as the front of the house when Leland is able to break free inside from Brett. He runs outside. He passes AJ, who's lying bleeding on the driveway, and he runs like with Brett in pursuit. He runs across the street to his mother's friends and hammers on the door. And when they answer, Leland told them, call 911. My brother's bleeding in the driveway. Make sure the police come. And after he says that, he passes out.
Jesus.
So knowing it's all over now, Brett got a bottle of water from the fridge and sits down on the front stoop and waits for the officers to arrive. And when they did arrive, AJ was still alive, but sadly, he died before the paramedics could get there.
No.
So after he dies, Brett says, I should have driven him to the hospital. The guys in the garage are dead. Crossbow to the head. It was me.
Oh, Jesus.
So, he's killed his mother and two of his brothers.
Oh.
After apprehending Brett, investigators went to the condo where they found the homemade devices. Not sure what they were, they called the bomb squad to take a look, who were able to disassemble them. They were also able to determine that had they not been disassembled, they would have worked as intended to create Brett's fake alibi. So potentially, if his mother had been home
shit.
Alone,
mm-hmm.
like he may have gotten away with this because he was smart enough to hook up those devices to link him to his house.
Oh, my God.
Brett hired attorney John Rosen, who had previously defended notorious killer Paul Bernardo.
Oh, God.
Oof.
Not sure why he I'm not sure why he needed such a high profile attorney, since Brett ended up waiving his preliminary hearing and pleading guilty. He claimed that after setting off for his mother's house, he had a change of heart and that when he went to get the crossbow, it was just to frighten her, not to kill her. And because
Bullshit.
Of this, he was convicted of second-degree murder in the case of Sue Ryan. He pleaded first-degree murder in the case of his brother Chris. There was no getting around that he admitted to lying in wait for his brother to come in and shot him in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then for AJ, he was convicted of second-degree murder. At his mm-hmm. sentencing, he sobbed as he addressed the court and said that he was sick with grief over what had occurred and that he was very sorry. As Justice John McMahon outlined the reason for his sentencing, he expressed, just brace your fucking self, he expressed admiration for Brett's presentation in court. He complimented his elocution, sincerity, and willingness to be accountable for his deeds.
I hate it here.
He determined that Brett was not just the author of this tragedy, but one of its victims, a good man who'd done something extraordinarily heinous. Brett had been caught in a, quote, simple web of lies. And concluded, so the justice concludes, quote, I have no hesitation that Mr. Ryan is remorseful for his actions. I'm so fucking sick of this shit. I swear to God. Like,
what are you fucking talking about?
He killed his mom and two of his brothers.
Yes.
Brett received concurrent life sentences for each of the murders, plus 10 years for the attempted murder of Leland. He will be eligible for parole in 2041, by which point he will be 60 years old.
That doesn't seem long like enough. No.
You can still do a lot of shit at 60.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Leland Ryan, the only surviving member of the Ryan family outside of Brett, refuses to speak publicly about the murders, but in court he stated that he suffers from trauma and severe anxiety from the event. He struggles to leave the house at all and has trouble sleeping and is haunted by the memory of his little brother, AJ, bleeding out on the driveway and being unable to save him.
Jesus.
So, sorry for the bummer.
Oh, my God.
That is
Kristen,
the story of...
I wonder...
And Chris, can you imagine, like, I don't know anything about it, like, about Kristen. I don't know if she was, like, even called to testify at court. Like, I don't know, but...
That's your fiance.
I can't... Right.
Yeah.
Who you have to find out has been lying to you all this time. And at the same time, you find that out. You find out that in order to try and cover up all of his lies, he murdered his mother and brothers.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Horrifying.
Wow. Wow. I knew that was coming, too, because I'm just like, the biggest fear is that consequence, you know, of being exposed for their lies. And
yeah, once the lies start rolling in, you have to know that that's, you know, what's going to happen. But like, this is the, you know, I can't even imagine what this person must have been like in real life to have been able to fool so many people and also been able to have two separate judges at two separate sentencing hearings be like, you know, he seems like a good guy.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Fucking gross.
No. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I cannot believe I hadn't heard of that.
It's fairly recent, too. I mean, yeah. I think he was sentenced in 2016.
Wow.
So,
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, it's just like, yikes. What are you guys watching this week? Anything uplifting?
I'm not really. No,
did
I'm
I
not
tell
really.
You I rewatched all of Bridgerton.
You did, but yeah. Did you see the new trailer?
Oh, it looks
yes.
so
it
good.
Looks so fucking good. I'm actually excited because we talked about this whenever Cassie was talking about her rewatch. And Friends to Lovers is not usually my like favorite of the tropes, but the way they're doing this one, I'm like, I think I could get on board. And I also love Nicola Coughlan, is that how you say her last name?
Yes,
I just love her. I think she's lovely.
They did a glow up on Colin too.
Ooh, he looks fine. And I was not expecting that because season one Colin, I was like, take it or leave it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Season three Colin, I'm like, bitch. And they know it too because they address it in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Like the brother is like, you look a lot better than you used to.
wait, is that why it's taken it so long to get here? Because we had to wait for his glow up.
Yeah, we did. He had to be hitting the gym 6 days a week for the last 2 years. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
But other than that, I mean, I'm not really watching anything else. I have been listening to Tenfold More Wicked podcast, which I enjoy. It's all historical crime.
Oh.
And so each season focuses on a different like historical crime case. So I've listened to a couple seasons of that and I like it. I think Kate Winkler Dawson is the host.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
I've listened to that as well. Yeah. It's a good show.
Yeah. I've been basically just binging my podcast, Bad Women. I'm season two with the Blackout Ripper, which is just really, really interesting. And I love, and still watching Fallout. Gotta tell you.
Yeah.
I'm into it now. So don't sleep
on it. You've convinced me.
Yeah.
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 It's very funny. It's a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be too. So
nice. Hey.
Interesting. Okay. Mm.
So if you guys have something that we should watch, if you've got a terrible date story, if you just want to say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.